Now we're going to switch focus from the retail economy to the kindness of strangers. There's an old adage that charity starts at home, but often when you're traveling, that's when you really need it. Stepping out of the safe confines of your own culture opens you to the challenge of the unexpected and often inexplicable, and the mercies of the natives who understand them. But the other side of the foreign faux pas is the great kindness that strangers can show to the lost and the distressed. With globe-spanning travel guides, Lonely Planet Publications understands this dynamic well. They've just released a new anthology called The Kindness of Strangers that documents both touching and hair-raising moments of charity encountered by their authors. If you've experienced some serendipitous kindness on your journey, we'd like to hear your anecdote. Give us a call. Our number is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK, and our email address is totn@npr.org. And joining us now from the studios of member station KQED in San Francisco is the editor of the anthology, Don George, global travel editor for Lonely Planet. Nice to have you back on Talk of the Nation.
Hi, Neil. It's great to be back.
Now, you say in your introduction that the kindness of strangers in foreign countries is one of the inevitables of travel. Explain what you mean by that.
Well, what I've learned in 25 years of wandering is two things. One is that inevitably something will go wrong. You'll run out of money, you'll get lost, your car will break down in the middle of nowhere. And then equally inevitably for me, someone will come to my rescue. In every single instance I've had of things going wrong for me on the road, someone has always come out of nowhere to take care of me and make everything all right.
Give me a for instance.
Well, for example, once I was in Cairo, my first visit to Cairo, and I was wandering around the city as I like to do, and I got more and more lost. I made a wrong turn each time I had a decision to make. And finally, I was in a very sinister-feeling neighborhood, and I was actually beginning to panic. And out of nowhere, a young boy appeared and took my hand, turned me around, and led me out of the neighborhood back to a town square that I recognized. And then he simply let go of my hand, gave me a little smile, and melted away into the crowd. And I thought, oh my gosh, I've been touched by an angel here. But this little boy somehow sensed my plight, took care of me, and I'll never forget that moment to this day. And I've had countless acts of kindness, some not so dramatic, where someone will simply see me staring at a map on a street corner and say, can I help you? And they'll end up walking 20 minutes out of their way to deliver me to the doorstep I was looking for.
Is that a theme that emerges? I mean, you've got stories here by some of the most fabled travelers of our time and stories by people who maybe just went out of the country once. But is there a theme that emerges from them?
I think the theme that emerges is that people really do care about each other all around the globe. And no matter what their background and religious belief and social status, people will take care of other people when they recognize that they're in trouble. And some of the situations in the book are truly hair-raising, as you said, and others are as mundane as a lonely woman alone in a restaurant nursing a broken heart and an old gentleman pays for her dinner and gets up and leaves without even telling her he's doing that. And when she goes to pay her bill, the owner says, oh, no, it's been paid for. And she says that restored her faith in humanity.
Our telephone number is 800-989-8255. Our email address is totn@npr.org. And let's hear from Ken, who joins us from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Good afternoon, Neil.
Good afternoon.
My travel story occurred back in the early 1970s when myself and two friends were driving around Europe during our Christmas vacation. Our automobile broke down in France, and early on the morning of Christmas Eve, we were hitchhiking into a nearby town to find a mechanic. The woman who stopped to pick us up, which was an amazing feat in itself to have one woman stop to pick up three people, was a dentist, and she was just appalled that three young people were going to be alone over Christmas. And she insisted that we come home with her, and we did. They had a fairly upper-middle-class lifestyle. They took us into their family. We had one of the most amazing five-course French dinners I've ever had. It started out with raw oysters and champagne from their cellar and went on for several hours.
I have to ask, they had raw oysters in their cellar?
No, the champagne was in the cellar. The raw oysters were in the kitchen.
Okay.
They had even gotten themselves together to get gifts for us. They took us to Mass that night. We spent the night with them and Christmas brunch the next day and shoved off. But it was just a wonderful thing. All three of us were away from home for the first time over Christmas, and to be be taken in by a family really made our trip special.
And I have to ask, Ken, has there ever been an occasion on which you thought of that and repaid that kindness somehow?
Not in that way. I hope to at some point. I am kind to strangers and dogs and such as that, but I have never taken a complete stranger. I've never had the courage to take a complete stranger, much less three late adolescent strangers, into my home overnight.
Well, thanks for the story, Ken. We appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
Don George, that sounds typical of the stories that we read in your book.
That's a beautiful story. And what I'm finding when I give readings around the country is that people are coming up to me after the readings and saying, oh, boy, have I got a story to tell you. So I believe that this theme has really tapped into a huge reservoir of stories like this that everybody has when they travel.
Well, one of those people who has one of those stories is our friend Simon Winchester. His most recent book is The Meaning of Everything, The Story of the Oxford English Dictionary. And he joins us now from his home in Sandusfield, Massachusetts. Simon, nice to talk to you.
Well, and you too. It's jolly cold up here, though. I wish the kindness of strangers would blow all this snow away.
I'm not sure strangers has much to do with the weather, Simon. But your piece, Ascension in the Moonlight, ends this collection of stories about the kindness of strangers. And tell us the story, if you would.
Well, I will, although listening to Don and to Ken talking about how kind people bail one out in trying circumstances, before I tell you about Ascension, which wasn't a trying circumstance at all, I was reminded listening to Ken that I was in prison for quite a long time for spying during the Falklands War. And my first week, when I was obviously miserable and alone and didn't know what was happening to me, one of the guards smuggled in a bar of Cadbury's chocolate and a bottle of Bass beer, two very English things to remind me of home. That's the kind of kindness in extremis that I think Don very much likes collecting stories about in the book. But what happened to me was, in a way, much more mundane. I was coming on an old Russian ship up from the Antarctic back to the Northern Hemisphere, and it was going so slowly, I decided to try and get off on Ascension Island, which is a little pinprick of an island in the sort of armpit of Africa, about 2 degrees south of the equator, and the captain agreed to let me off there. Getting onto the island is very, very difficult. It's very slippery steps, and there's a great swell. And anyway, I got on, and clambering up these steps at the top was an Anglican priest, and he said, I've heard that someone's getting off the boat, and goodness knows why, but welcome to Ascension. My name is, and he gave his name, which was Nicholas Turner. Welcome to our island. I wonder if I can look after you. And he and his wife, Anne, looked after me for the next 3 days. And the most memorable moment was on the night that I was due to catch a plane back to England, because there was a runway on this little island, and there was a jet that came in once a week from the Falkland Islands on its way back to England. That's what I was waiting for. We went to a little beach, the only white sand beach on Ascension Island, and they had got some strawberries and cream and white wine, and we sat on this beach at about midnight, crystal clear night with a full moon, and we were watching. He said, we're here for a very special reason, and watch. And very slowly in the darkness, coming up the beach, you saw these dark shapes moving out of the surf, crawling like sort of soldiers at Dunkirk up the beach. And I realized as they got closer, and there must have been 20 of them, they were Brazilian turtles, which had swum all the way from Brazil to Ascension to lay their eggs. And each one of them turned round, laid a clutch of eggs, and then utterly exhausted, went back into the sea to paddle 2,500 miles back to Brazil. Well, I thought that was pretty marvelous, and I thought the strawberries and cream and the white wine was marvelous too. But then suddenly it started to go dark, and I thought, you know, it must be a cloud, but I looked up, and the moon was going into a total lunar eclipse. And at the same time as that, rising out of the eastern sky, was a comet. And I thought, my God, thanks to the kindness of these two people who don't know me from Adam, I'm seeing turtles, I'm eating strawberries and cream and drinking white wine on a white sand beach in the middle of the tropics, watching an eclipse of the moon and seeing a comet. Life must be pretty good.
Simon Winchester's story is part of the collection The Kindness of Strangers. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And I'd like to put a question to both of you, and this is raised by the essay in this collection by Jan Morris, who's a very famous travel writer. And hers is more a meditation on kindness of strangers rather than experiences like yours, Simon. But in a way, she says, it's easier to be kind to a stranger many times than it is to people we know.
If you want me to answer that before Don, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, how often does one travel on an aeroplane and the person sitting next to you, who you've never heard of, never met before, for some reason unburdens themselves on you, and you hear the most extraordinary story of their personal life, and you sympathize with them and utter words, perhaps not of wisdom, but certainly of some sort of attempt at kindness, and they go away feeling rather better. It's often so much easier to unburden yourself and to be entirely human to someone you don't know when there is no emotional baggage that involves you with that person. And I think that's one of the reasons why strangers do have this capacity for kindness, which people that you know perhaps have in a much more limited degree.
I think there's a kind of a vulnerability that you have when you travel. You're at the mercy of so many factors you don't know. And if you really embrace that vulnerability as a traveler and open yourself up to it, people really respond. And so you're more keenly aware of everything around you, and people respond keenly and acutely to that.
Let's get another caller on the line. And this is Jared. Jared, where are you calling from?
Bemidji, Minnesota.
Okay. What's your story, Jared?
Well, I was with a student group over in the Middle East. We were studying Arabic, and the Arabs themselves are extremely hospitable. But before we went to the Middle East, or on our way to the Middle East, we traveled through Turkey. And our first night in Istanbul, we were trying to find an internet cafe, but we didn't speak Turkish. And so we were just wandering around and trying to use our Arabic, but it wasn't really helping. And a boy came off the street and found us, and he thought we were Germans. And so he started speaking to us in German. And one of my friends that was with us, he also spoke German. And so this guy started leading us around to this internet cafe. And one of the most remarkable times of the night was when we stopped into a pastry shop. And so we would speak to our friend in English. He would translate to this boy in German. The boy would speak in Turkish to the person in the pastry shop and ask him our question, and then he would have to pass back down through the line. And at the end of it, we tried to pay him once he dropped us off at the internet cafe, and he said no, and he said, I won't accept payment. He said, the reason I did this, and he explained this to us, he said, the reason I did this is because someday someone will pay me back in the same way. And that was his excuse, that was his reason, I guess. And then he left and left us alone. That was it.
So he cast his bread upon your waters.
Exactly.
Okay, Jared. Thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
Don George, one of the things you write about is that having experienced the kindness of strangers and having thought about it a little bit, you've begun to practice it yourself.
I find myself being more and more kind to more and more people. And you get such a great feeling when you walk up to someone who appears to be lost and you just say, can I help you out? And I don't mind at all going 15 minutes out of my way to deliver them somewhere. And I feel that it really does have a cumulative effect, that they will be kind to someone and that person will be kind to someone, and that it will continue to pass from person to person. It's a wonderful, benevolent warmth that spreads through you when you do that.
Simon Winchester, briefly, have you suspended your journalistic cynicism and helped strangers too?
Do you know, I have. I mean, I entirely agree with Jan Morris's view that kindness and being kind to people is really the essence of all human goodness. And I do try, to the point where my very first experience of America was I spent a year hitchhiking around this country in 1962. And the kindness of the people I met in those days, I do try to repay to this day, even being foolhardy enough, as some would say, to pick up hitchhikers myself still. It was a wonderful time in 62. Even in 2003, I still do it. And the people I pick up are immensely grateful for it.
Simon Winchester, happy Christmas.
And to you.
Simon Winchester joined us from his home in Western Massachusetts. His most recent book is The Meaning of Everything. And Don George, always nice to have you on the program, too.
Thank you, Neil. Happy holidays.
John George is the editor of the collection The Kindness of Strangers. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News.